The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot. Today's daf has been generously sponsored by Mr. Harry Ajmi in honor of the premier caterer, our dear friend Mr. Uri Nidam. We want to congratulate Uri on the birth of a baby girl. May he see much nachat from all his children. Behek yere Elohim tenaten. Amen. Daf Tet Zayin. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ailu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in the Refuah Shelema. Morenu ve'rabenu va'ateret roshenu. Chacham Obadiah Yosef ben Gurjia. She'over nituah hayom. El nar efana lo. El nar efana lo. El nar efana lo. Refuat ha'nefesh. Refuat ha'guf. Refuato kenoma labo. Vechen yirason venomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Tet Zayin Amud Rishon, and we are going to start 6 lines from the top, starting at the Gufa. Comes the Gemara and says, Gufa Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Tibyomi. We have a statement from Rabbi Ami Bar Tibyomi. Sikkecha Bibla Echelim. If let's say a person used Fischach, Bibla Echelim, worn out clothes. So the Gemara says, the deen is what? Pesula. It is Pesula. No good. Might be la ekelim. What are these worn out clothes that we're talking about? Amar baye matlaniyot she'en bahen shalosh al shalosh. We're talking about patches or an area of garment that does not even have 3 etzba'ot, 3 fingers by 3 fingers. De lo hazyan. They're not usable. Lo la'aniim ve lo la'ashirim. Which is, they have no function. Which is, even a poor person does not use a garment that is so small. And therefore, they're, even though they are not ra'ui to mikabel tum'ah, because they are so small, still they're going to be pasul to use for schach. Now of course, a poor person uses smaller garments. For example, he would use a 3x3 etzba'ot garment, let's say as a patch. You know, rich people won't even use that. But you see, the point over here is, the Gemara is saying that for the aniyim, this item is considered functional, and still we're saying that it's not functional, and therefore still we're saying it is pasul fischach. So we have to understand why. So the explanation is going to be, since it came from a larger garment, since it came from a bigger garment, and the bigger garment was a keli, so the Chachamim made a gezerah on the smaller garment that came from the bigger garment that was mekabel tumah, and therefore it's pasutanya kivatid Rabbi Ami Bar Tibyomi. We have a right to support this opinion. Mahaselet shel shifa v'shel gemi. You have a mahaselet that would be like a mat made of shifa. How do they explain the word shifa? It is, you made a mahaselet, you made a mat out of these items. So the deen is shiyareha. Originally it was a bigger mat. Okay? Now what's left over after it became diminished, afalpi shenifhatu mikashi'ura, even though now it's a small mat, and it's not even ra'ui to be mekabel tum'ah. Now normally, the shi'ur, by a mat, let's say, to mekabel tumah would be, let's say, 6x6 tefahim. Here, it got even smaller than that. En misakehim bahim. Doesn't matter. Right? That says you can't use a fiskach. Why? Because since it originally came from a ma'aselet gedolah, from a bigger mat, And now, even though it's smaller, still the Hachamim made a gezerah. And therefore, for example, the bigger mat was worthy to sit on. An idak can sit on it. A zav can sit on it. And therefore, it has the ability to be mekabel tuma. Therefore, the hadush is that even the smaller mat that came from it is going to be mekabel tuma. The Gemara continues. Mahaselet akanim. You have a mat made out of reeds. Gedola mesakechimba. If it's a big mat, you can use it for skach. Ketana en mesakechimba. But if it's a small one, you can't use it for skach. What's the logic? So the Mefashim explained, as she says, by a mahaselet gedola, it's usually made for schach. That's the purpose of a mahaselet gedola. And therefore it's not considered a keli, therefore it's not going to be mekabel tuma. However, mahaselet ketana is usually used for sitting purposes, or for lying purposes. Therefore it's considered a keli, therefore it's going to be mekabel tuma. So again, the Tanakh over here says, mahaselet kanim gedola, since it was made for schach, mesakechim ba. Get another smaller one, and it's a kechimba. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afi mekabele tum'a. He says, no, even the bigger one is mekabele tum'a. Because it's made stam for sleeping purposes, and therefore in misakechin ba. So basically, the end of this bright, we have a mahluk by a mahasilit gedola. Can you use it for schach or not? Let's read Rashi for a second. Gedola mesakechim ba, delav keliyu, destama lesikuch. The next shita, afhi mekabelet tuma, kasabar stama leshchiba vekliyu. So that is the machlok. It comes again, and continues. Ha'otet begadish. We learned in our Mishnah, where the fellow was digging out from a haystack, for example, right? And now he created a halal, he created, let's say, airspace now, which automatically the walls are formed, and by default he created now a schach on top of him. Keep in mind, he didn't touch the schach. The guy was just involved in digging out this haystack, and the schach appeared automatically. So the Gemara says a big hadush. Ama, and the Mishnah said what? That is pasul, because of ta'aseh v'lo menasui. Ama, Ravuna, lo shanu ela she'en sham. Halal tefach b'meshech shiv'ah. Which means, we're only talking about a case where when you started to dig, you did not have a halal, a airspace of a tefach, from the floor to the roof. We had less than a tefach across 7 tefachim length and width of the haystack. Aval yesh sham halal tefach b'meshech shiv'a hare ze sukkah. So, but if let's say the haystack going in had a roof from the roof to the floor, at least a tefach, at least 7 tefachim wide and long. So since you have the dimensions of a sukkah, in the sense that you have the 7x7 on the ground, true, you don't have the height, but since your roof is considered a roof already, because the roof is considered made, therefore all you're doing now is extending walls. To extend your walls to the sukkah by digging out is okay, because your roof was made. However, going in to make the roof by just building walls, that is no good. Which means like this, a regular sukkah that you're digging out from a haystack is pasul, is because when you empty out the straw from the stack, you did not make sukkah. It's ta'aseh velo min asui. However, if let's say you have the minimum shi'ud of an oil, meaning it's one tefah, that's the shi'ud, let's say, for tum'ah, and you have it in a 7x7 area, which is the shi'ud of a sukkah. So therefore, now that you go dig out in such an area, the schach is considered made already. And therefore, obviously we're talking about where it was dug out, the schach was placed there for the purpose of shade. Now you're just coming to extend the walls. It would be considered that now your schach is going to be kasher. Now even though you still have to dig in the gadish in order to, let's say, get to the shiur of 10 tefachim, which is the height, that's just to kosher up the walls. That's not the din of Ta'aseh lo menasu. He's only said by Schach. And we consider, let's say you have a sukkah that's 9 tefachim high, right? It's 9 tefachim, so you dig in the ground another tefach to give you another tefach of wall. So that's going to be kasher. So therefore, since you had over here a schach that was placed on top of a halal, that was a tefach, so therefore the sukkah's kishira, it's just that your walls are not tall enough. And then when you dig out, it's going to be okay. Let's read that in Nashi. Ela she'en sham halal tefach. Gova meshech orech verochav sheva tefachim kishu sukkah. And after you had that minimum shi'ur, actually if you look in your picture books, you see a nice picture in Kuf Mem Het. You see the Gadish, it shows you that you had a 7x7, right, in the bottom, and now you're just making your walls 10. Then in that case, as long as you started with a tefah by 7x7, you're okay. That she says, when you don't have a tefach, so now you're making the schach by default, by creating the walls. It's an oil already. And you have skak already there. The skak is there. Ushechotet bo milimata lemala chemekbiyat halal shur gova asara. When you're just adding some height to the walls to 10, en zu asiyato. That's not considered making the skak. Share eno metaken. Ela defarot. You're not making the skak. The skak was made already. Ube defarot lo amrin et asiv lo minasu. There's no din of asiv lo minasu. Ube defarot. Varei kesuka shepiota me asara. Vehakak ba vishlim al asara. It's like a sukkah that's smaller than 10, and you dug in order to make it 10. And therefore, that is going to be okay. But it should be pointed out that the Mefarshim say that the part of the schach that's going to be kashir is only the part that's above the 7x7. Which is, if you widen the sukkah outside of the shiur that was there already, which means the tefah space from the roof to the floor, that's the minimum, and 7x7. So in that area, as long as you dig deeper to make it 10 to 5, in that specific area, the 10 to 5 by 7x7, the schach will be kasher. But anything else going out, you're now creating walls and more schach. And therefore, since the schach is going to be created by the walls now, by the digging out, that schach is going to be pasul. So we're only discussing the schach right underneath the 7x7. Tanya name ache. We have a braita to support this. Achotet megadish la'asol the sukkah. A guy digging out in the haystack in order to make a sukkah. Harez a sukkah. Keshera. Harez a sukkah. Meaning it is a sukkah. It's valid. What do you mean? Va'anatenan. We learned in a sukkah. We learned in the Mishnah that it's not a sukkah. Ela lav shma'amina. Kedei Rav Huna shma'amina. Must be that we must say the chiluk of Rav Huna. That what? That it depends what you start with. If you started with a tefach by 7x7, then already it's going to be kasher. Because your schach was there already for the sake of schach, and now you're just adding to the walls. However, now Mishnah, that said pasul, you didn't even have the minimum shiur going in. Ikadirami lemir masam brought a stira between the Mishnah and the Braita. Tanam, we learned in our Mishnah. Hachotet megadish la'asol sukkah ena sukkah. It's not a sukkah, the Mishnah says. What do you mean? The Gemara asks. We learned in the Braita that is a sukkah, it is a sukkah. And the Gemara answered like Rav Huna said. That what? Here in the Mishnah, that is Pesul, that's about where you started off without a tefach height. By 7x7, you didn't have, therefore you're making the schach by default. And therefore it's not considered a sukkah, ta'asev lo menasui. However, the case that's kesherah is talking about where you had the height of a tefah, which means the gag, the roof is considered a roof already, because it has the minimum shi'ud of a gag, which is an oil, which is a tefah. Now all you do is extending the walls, that's considered okay. Comes the next Mishnah. Hamshalshel defanot milema'la limata. A person is making walls from lemala, from the top to the bottom. Which means, hamishalshel literally means he's like weaving. They used to make the walls, let's say, out of reeds, or I should say out of like palms. So they would have palm branches, so they would weave them. So he's weaving from the top of the schach to the bottom. and he doesn't get all the way to the bottom. But so the Mishnah says, "Im gavoa min arish shlosha tefachim pesula." If he does not reach the bottom, if there's more than three tefachim to the bottom of the from the bottom of the ground, this is pesula. Why? Because this is not considered a wall. Why is it not considered a wall? Because goats are able to penetrate. Means the animals could walk through. And a wall's got to be a wall that protects. Look at the picture books in Kuf Nun Gimal. You see the case of Mishashid. So you see on the bottom, they didn't go all the way down. They left three tefachim off the ground. So therefore, since that little goat, the Gdi, is able to penetrate, so therefore the wall is going to be Pesula. Comes the Mishnah and continues. If you did the opposite, if you weave the wall from the ground going up, Im gavoa asarat tefachim keshera, so long as the wall is 10 tefachim high, which is the minimum height of a wall, so the mechisa is considered keshera, even though it doesn't reach the schach. Okay, so the mefashim explain, because we're employing a principle over here called gud asik mechista, which means I'll say that the wall extends upwardly. If you look in your picture books in Kufnun Dalid, you see over here the 10 tefachim wall. It does not nearly reach the top of the schach. However, using gud asik, we'll say the wall extends, so therefore it goes all the way to the top. And here it's a wall because animals obviously cannot penetrate through. Comes the Gemara. Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yose Omer, Keshem Shemilimata Lemala Asarat Tefachim. Just like when you start the wall from the floor and you go up, the minimum, as long as you have a 10 Tefachim wall, is kosher, even though it doesn't reach the skach. Kak Milimala Lemata Asarat Tefachim. So he holds also, when you start from the top and you go down, as long as you went down 10 tefachim, the sukkah is going to be keshera, which means this is permissible. All you need is a wall of 10. I don't care if it doesn't reach the ground. I don't care if the animals can go through. Let's read the Rashi on this Mishnah. Hamshalshel, kol minimala limata kare shalshul. That's what Rashi gives us, a klal. Whenever you're going from the top to the bottom, the language of the Shema is Mishalchel. Milema'la lemata, shitqil le'eroga mi'itza. You start to weave the wall. It's laskach, ve'oreg ba'ka lepe'mata. And you're weaving it going down. Shiloshat tefachim pesula, da'ainu kedesh yizdaker gdi bebat rosh. That's enough that the animal can penetrate bebat rosh easily. Damra pesula, so it's going to be pesula milimata lemala, going from down to up. Shitchid le'erog milimata samuch lekarka. Umagbiya ve'odeh kevan shigbi asara keshera. Once it's 10 tefachim, it's keshera. Va'afat pi shilo giyel asachim, even though you didn't reach the skach. The biyosei omer keshem shilimata lemala day barigat yud ken milimala lemata. So to going from up to down. Day barigat asara filu gevohar bimena aris keshera. V'kasavar mechitza tiluya asara materet. So he holds, obviously, the biyosei, that a mechitza tiluya, you have a hanging mechitza, that is going to be kesheran. I was going to explain. What is the source of this machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef? Mor sabar mechitza tiluya materet. Rabbi Yosef is going to say that a hanging wall is materet. Therefore, even though the wall is more than three tefachim off the ground, it is considered a wall, and therefore it's going to be sukkah keshera. Umor sabar mechisa teluya in a materet. Nachamim hold that what? That a wall that's above 3 from the ground is not going to be matir the sukkah. So it seems like this. It seems according to Rabbi Yosef, he'll employ the rule, let's say, gud ahit mechista, that so long as your wall is 10, we consider going all the way down to the floor. However, Hakim, we're not going to use gud ahit mechista, because bottom line, even if you use gud ahit, it's an imaginary wall. The animals can still penetrate, and therefore it's not considered a legitimate wall. So that's the machloket. Do we say mechitza tiluya? Is it considered a wall or not? A hanging wall, is it a wall or not? Tenanatam, we learned in the Mishnah. Bor. Sheben shete hatzerot. Okay, you have a bore, you have a water well that is in between two hatzerot. two courtyards. Half the well is in one courtyard, the other well is in another courtyard, and you have a wall between the courtyards, and you were not able to make an eruv between the two courtyards. So clearly you're not allowed to carry from one courtyard to another. If you look in your picture books, it'll be picture Kuf Nun Heh. You see the two atzerot, you have the well right in the center, the wall splitting it, going right across. So now the question is there a way to draw water from this well on Shabbat? So the Mishnah said, "En mimalein mimena b'Shabbat." You cannot draw water from the well on Shabbat. What's the logic? Even though everybody's only drawing from their side, but since the water on the bottom is all one, so it's considered as if you're taking from the other side, the other hazir, into your hazir. And since there's no eruv, so therefore it's considered carrying, and therefore it's going to be asur. Okay? Ela, so what's the adjustment? Ela imken asala mihisa asara tefahim. So long as if you made a wall of 10 tefahim, ben milma'ala, whether you made the wall on top, literally, ben milimata, whether you made it low, ben betoch ogno, or if you put it literally in the rim of the bor on top. So the Mefarshim explained the cases like this. First case, you made a wall of 10 ben milma'ala. What's the case? Actually, the Mefarshim do point out that this word ben milma'ala is really not to be in the text. In Irubin, this word milma'ala does not appear, and it seems from Rashi as well, it does not appear. So we'll analyze the next words. Ben milimata. Whether you place the wall in the board itself, close to the water, that would be picture number Kuf Nun Vav. See what they did? The wall is going mamash into the well itself, down to the water. Right? It's just not a wall on top. It goes into the well itself, close to the water. That's milimata. Ben betoch ogno. Ben betoch ogno. Look at the next picture. It'll be Kuf Nun Zayin, which means it's in the airspace of the well. However, it's rachok min amayim. Right? It's far from the water. Point is, so long as you have a wall of 10, either it's lemat that goes all the way down into the well next to the water, or it's even close to the water, it's going to be considered kasher. Your art scroll actually has a better picture than the picture book. When you look in your art scrolls, you see the picture, one picture is you see the ten tefahim wall in the well itself, much close to the water. And next picture you see, no, the ten tefahim wall is in the airspace of the well, far from the water. This opinion holds, obviously, that a... this Tana says, which... you can make this wall. Now what's the logic? Normally this Tana would say a mechisa tiluya is not considered a wall. It's normally not matir. However, by water, on Shabbat, the rabbis made a dispensation. It's a special kula kula shekilu hachamim b'mayim. A special kula the rabbis were water, because water is a necessity. What do you tell the people? Don't drink? So therefore, for this item over here, hachamim were mekel. If you remember, we learned the case in Erubin, where a guy is standing in his window, and he has a gizustra. He has, let's say, a balcony out of his window. And the balcony is considered, let's say, a karmelit. Right? And there's a hole in there, and he needs to, the hole in the balcony, let's say, so he wants to take a bucket and go down into the waters and draw water and up the balcony. But he's going, the water is considered a reshut yaid. So he's now going to go from a reshut yaid into a karmelit, into his house, so therefore it's asur. So if you remember, the Achamim said he's able to place walls of 10 by 4 underneath his gzustira, even though the walls don't reach the waters, but we consider it good achit, as the walls go all the way down. Therefore, what he basically does is he makes the whole area of the water a reshut hayachid. And therefore he would be able to draw the water on Shabbat. So basically, that's a kula, even though it's not really walls. It's only it's walls that don't reach the water. So since in Erubin we see that we're lenient, by water. So Achamim say we'll be lenient. However, the Ban Shimon Gamliel Omer, we can do it. The Ban Shimon Gamliel says, Bet Shammai Omri. So the Ban Shimon Gamliel quotes Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai says, Milema'la. That what? So long as the wall of ten is within the halal, the space of the well itself, so even if it's above the water, it's not going all the way down, like in the first picture, so it'll be mutar. No. It's got to be below. It's got to be next to the water. It's mashma over that bit tilil is actually more mahmir. He's saying the wall's got to be low next to the water, and bet Shammai says it can be even above. So if you look at the top to Safot, he says bechol sefarim garsin and ipka. The Masechta Eruvim is the opposite. Bet Shammai is the one that said it has to be low next to the water, and bet tilil says it can even be above the water. The point is, both bet Shammai and bet tilil say it's got to be within the airspace of the well. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, third opinion, lo tehe mechitza gidola min hakotel shebinehem. So Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, you don't need the wall inside the board at all. It's enough between the wall that's separating the two atzerot. Which means I'm not going to tell you that the wall that you build inside the board is going to be better than the wall that's existing over there, separating between the two atzerot. And therefore he says you have to do nothing. You can rely on the wall that is separating. Amar Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yehuda, this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says the wall between the two hatserot is going to allow you to carry between the waters, between, you know, each hatser can draw from the waters. Beshitat Rabbi Yose Amara. Must be following Rabbi Yose, De Amar Me'isa Teluya Materet. Which means, must be holds that what? By a sukkah, just like a hanging wall is considered a wall. And therefore, you must hold it Rabbi Yose, that so to over here, this wall that's in between, it's a hanging wall because it's not in the board. It's a wall that's dangling. It's above the board. Still, we consider it to go down and separate the board. Which is the Gemara is trying to say, that must be according to Rabbi Yosef, that this dispensation is not only by water. He must hold that this wall is considered a wall in the halakha. Not like the first opinions. The first opinions are holding, really, a mechitza is not a mechitza. But what? For water, the rabbis were lenient, so long as you put it in the board, so it looks as if it's separating the waters. But Rabbi Yehuda is telling you, no, you don't got to do anything. This wall that's on top is a kosher wall, like a ta'ilah. Implying that what? That he holds, it's not a dispensation that we're giving by water. It's a regular halakha, mechitza, tiluya is going to be mutar as well as by sukkah itself. So comes the Gemara and says Veloi. No, that's not the explanation. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savar like Rabbi Yose, Velo Rabbi Yose savar like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yose doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Yose. Why? Lo Rabbi Yehuda savar like Rabbi Yose, Rabbi Yehuda by sukkah does not hold like Rabbi Yose. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda hatam. Rabbi Yehuda was only lenient in the Mishnah and Erubin over there. Ela be'eruv ve'chaserot de'rabbanan. Because the whole law of Eruv Haserot is Midrabanan. Midoraita, you can carry between these two domains. They're both Rishuti Yareins. The rabbi said you can't. So in a case where it's only rabbinical item, rabbinical Isu, so he was lenient with such a Mechitzat Tiluya. Aval Haka. Sukkah Deoraita. But over here, we're dealing with a Sukkah where it's Mitzvah to Sinim in the Torah. Lo, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be lenient, like Rabbi Yehuda said, that you can have a hanging wall. So Rabbi Yehuda said his deen only by Erubi Haserot. Now we go the other way. But Rabbi Yehuda says, like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not only like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Rabbi Yehuda only said his deen by Sukkah. That Mechitzat Tuliyah is going to be okay. Ela b'sukkah de mitzvat ha'aseh. Because a person who sits and eats in Sukkah, he's only fulfilling a mitzvah ta'aseh. I shouldn't say only, but means if he doesn't, he's only being mevatel a mitzvah ta'aseh, which means it's a positive commandment. However, aval Shabbat, the isur sekila, Shabbat is a type of isur that has in it sekila. Now, even though Eruv is only derabbanan, but it's on a Shabbat. And the concept of Shabbat is a serious item because it has laws that are subject to sekila. No. So in that case, the B.O.C. is not going to be lenient. So therefore, you have no proof that the rabbis would agree to each other in their respective cases. The B.O.C. only said it by sukkah, where the worst thing you're doing is being mevatel and aser. But it's not going to be lenient by the case of the Eruv, by the atzerot, because that's considered already a subject that is Isu Sekira. And Rabbi Yehuda had the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda would say, I'll be lenient by the Ayruth case because Solim is the Rabbanan, but not by the Sukkah. Vim Tomar, oh, but maybe you can ask me a question. If you tell me that Rabbi Yosei was only lenient by Sukkah, but he wasn't lenient by Shabbat, Maaseh Shenasah B'Sipori. There was a certain famous story that happened in Sipori. Apimi Nasa, who was the rabbi that allowed it? Now, the Rabbi Yosei was the chief rabbi of Sipori, and a certain leniency was done using a mechitzat teluya. So the Gemara says, who allowed it? Lo al pi Rabbi Yosei. The Gemara says, no, it wasn't Rabbi Yosei. Ela al pi Rabbi Yishmael bi Rabbi Yosei. It was his son. She's Rabbi Yosei was not around at the time of that story. Already his son took over, and his son was lenient. Umay Maaseh, what was the story? The Chiat that Avdimi Amar. When Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he once said, Pamahat, one time, Shachu, in Sipori, they forgot Veloeviu Sefer Torah Me'arib Shabbat. They forgot to bring the Sefer Torah to the Bet Knesset from Friday to read on. Now, the Sefer Torah was in a house that was opened up to the Hasir. And now, in the Hatzir, you had a Bet Knesset and other houses. The problem is they didn't make an Eruv in that Hatzir. So technically, you can't carry from the house to the Bet Knesset. You can't take the Sefer out because it's carrying. So what did they do? So it says, Lemachar, on Shabbat, how are you going to get the Sefer out? You can't carry, there's no Eruv. Pirsu Sedinin Agabe Amudim. They placed Sedinim sheets over poles, right? From the house where the Sefer Torah was until the Bet Knesset, and they made, let's say, a narrow path of sheets, which means they made a wall of sheets from the house to the synagogue, and therefore now there was only a house and a synagogue in this Hatzir. I mean, they walled off that area, so you were going straight from the house to the synagogue. Now, in that case, you would not need to make an Eruv, because basically you only have one house. The synagogue does not osir a hatzir, because a synagogue is not a place of dwelling. The story in Sipori was where they had a hatzir, and in the hatzir there were homes, of course, and there was a Bet Knesset. There was no Eruv made in the hatzir, so technically you cannot carry. So they needed to take the sefer from the house until the Bet Knesset. So what did they do? On Shabbat, they actually erected Sadinim sheets, and they created a wall that actually was between the shul and the house. Actually, if you look in your picture books, you have a great picture on Kuf Nun Het. You see what they did was, you see the Sefer Torah in the house, right next to the Bet Knesset, it's in a larger Hasid. They quadrined off that area with these Mechitzot, and therefore they would carry the Sefer Torah from the house into the Bet Knesset. Now, I was in the middle of saying that the air issue over here now is no more Eruv, because even though you have a house, it's not connected to the other houses in the Hasid. And our Bet Knesset is not considered a house that would require an Eruv either, because it's bottom line, it's not a place for dwelling. And therefore, what they did was on Shabbat, they made this wall. So again, the Mahar Pirsu Sedinim Al Gabi Amudim Viu Sefer Torah Vekarubo. They brought the Sefer Torah and they read from it. So comes the Gemara and says, Pirsu Salkadatach. What are you talking about over here? Is that permissible to actually make the walls on Shabbat? Mehechan Heviyum Beshabbat. Where did they bring them from Shabbat? Which means, where did they get these walls from? From the house? Well, you couldn't carry from the house into the Hatzir. You're not allowed to carry. So therefore, where did these walls come from? Again, you're not allowed to carry in a Hatzir without an Eruv. So say they put up these walls. From where did these walls come from? Ela Matzu Sadinim Pirusim Al Gabe Ha'amudim. And they have to say the story was they found the wall made already. And therefore they used that wall in order to carry, in order to read the Sefer Torah. Now it should be noted that Rashi brings over another opinion what happened. Look in your picture books at picture Kuf Nun Tet. The only difference in this picture is you have two adjacent haserot across the street from each other with a mavui in the middle. Now, they didn't make an adjustment of shitufe mivuot. So basically, the sefer Torah was in one house and one haser, and across the street was the Bet Knesset. So they erected the wall across the mavui. So they can carry from the house to the Bet Knesset. So either they just made the wall in the Hasid itself or across the Mavui. Okay? So that is the story that happened in Sipori. Okay. Now, the point of the story over here is showing us that what? That in this case over here of the Bet Knesset, the walls that they made did not reach the ground. They were more than 3 tefachim off the ground. That's the point over here. And still, what are we saying? It was allowed. The Hiddush is that even though the wall that they erected was more than 3 off the ground, they allowed it. How could the Rabbi Yosef allow it? He was the one that said that Mechitzat Teluyah is only a leniency by Sukkah, not by Shabbat. And the Gemara says it was Rabbi Ishmael, his son. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Avimi, Machaselet Arba'a. You have a mat that's 4 tefachim wide, Umashu, and a Mashu. So it's 4 plus. Okay? Matenet Besukkah Mishum Dofen. So you could use such an item as a wall for the sukkah. Now, the Gemara is going to explain. If you want to just get a picture quickly of what we're talking about, look at the book, Kuf Samech. You see over here you have a mechitza, okay? It's more than 4 tefachim. It's in height. It's actually 4 plus. So such a wall is enough minimum size for a kosher sukkah wall. How's that possible? You need a wall of 10. How could you get away with a wall of 4 plus? So the Gemara says, Mechitza machatzel arba'a umashu, a 4 plus wall, matirit b'sukkah mishum dofen, can be used as a kosher wall. Hechi abid, how did you make it? Tali le be'imsa, hang it in the middle. Pahot mishlosha lemata, less than 3 from the ground, upahot mishlosha lemala, and less than 3 from the schach. Kol pahot mishlosha kelabud dame. And we know that anything that's within 3, you can employ the rule of lavud. And therefore we consider the wall that's within 3 of the ground extending to the ground, and the wall that's within 3 of the schach extending upward to the sukkah. Now obviously that is a chidush, but the Gemara is going to speak it out. Gemara says pshita. What do you mean? It's obvious. Which means for sure it should work. What do you teach me the law of lavud? We know. Which means you're putting you have it exactly a 10 airspace from schach to floor. So your minimum size wall would be 4 and change. Put it right in the middle and use lavud. So the Gemara says pshita. He says, no, ma'u de tema had lavud amrinan. Tre lavud lo amrinan. Kamash ma'alan. Now I would have thought, maybe you can only use one lavud. You can only go one direction. Kamash ma'alan, that you can use lavud twice. You can use it going up, and you can use it going down. Now the hadush over here is, even though later on there's an opinion of the Ran that's going to say you cannot say two halakha le Moshe Mesinai's simultaneously, that's only when you need both to work, which means that they're dependent on each other, that you can't say one without saying the other. Here each lavud is independent of each other. Right, you can say one lavud without saying another lavud, so therefore everybody will agree that you can say two lavuds. Right, one going up and one going down. Metiveh, the Gemara has a question. Ma'aselet shiva umashu. If you have a wall that's 7 and change, matere b'sukkah mishum dofen, it'll be mutar in the sukkah because of a wall, implying that why? You only say lavud once. Which means, look at Kuf Samich Aleph, you have a wall that's 7 in Mashu, so it's Mutar B'Sukkah because of Dofen, right? So we're assuming over here that it was a 10, it was just 10 Tefachim, so you have 7 in change, so you have 2.9 left over, and there's your Lavud. So the Gemara says, so how could you tell me 4 in change? Ki Tanya'i B'Sukkah Gedolah. Now that is talking about we have a Sukkah that's bigger than 10 Tefachim. And therefore, in such a case, you're not going to be able to put a mi'itza of 4 and change, because it's not going to reach. It's going to be more than 3 tefachim from the Tzchach or the ground. Therefore, the Braita is coming to tell you that we have a case if it's seven and change, and therefore you can use lavud in order to get it to 10 tefachim. That's actually the picture of Kuf Samech Aleph, where you see you have seven, and you get your three to the top. So now, bottom line, you have a wall of 10. Granted, on the bottom, it's open. But if you remember the opinion of Rabbi Yosef says, as long as you have 10 from the top going down, it's kosher. And therefore, I don't care if the animals can penetrate through. We use the halachic principle of good achit, that the wall goes down, and therefore it is kasher. So Tirat Gemara says to this, umay kamash ma'alan. What do you mean? What are you coming to teach me over here? What's the hadush in that case? Seven and change, and you're making lavud going up. What are you trying to teach me over here? You're trying to teach me the concept of lavud? We know that already. So the Gemara says, nah, the hadush is the mishalshelin defanot melemala lemata. Can it be Yosef? The hadush is that what? That we go like it be Yosef. That you make the walls from top to bottom. So as long as you can use your lavud going up, so that's your three, plus your seven and change. So that's 2.9 actually, plus seven and change is 10. Even though the rest is wide open, doesn't matter. Following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rabbi Amir. Rabbi Amir comes along and says, Pas arba'a umashu matir besuka mishum dofen. If you have a beam or a plank that is four tefachim plus, it'll matir in a sukkah, you can use it as a wall. It's a kosher wall, which means you don't need a full wall. Even if you have a minimum size, a plank of four tefachim in mashu, it's okay. So how's that possible? So comes the, we know that the minimum size of a sukkah is seven. You need a sukkah to be 7x7. How could you tell me now that you have a board that's 4 tefachim and a mashu, that's going to be considered kosher for a sukkah? So the Gemara says, Umokim le befachot meshloshat tefachim samuk ladofen. Just place it less than 3 tefachim from the wall. Dechol pachot meshloshat samuk ladofen kelavud dameh. Which means that once already you have within 3 tefachim of the wall, you employ the rule of lavud. Now basically your wall is going to be 7. Let's look at Rashi. Actually, let's look at the picture book first. Kuf Samich Bet. Okay, you have two walls that are adjacent to each other. So on the third wall, just take a board that is 4 tefachim, 4 and change. Place it less than 3 from the wall. Now you're going to have a wall of 7. And therefore, you'll have a kosher sukkah. Now, technically, if you remember, we learned earlier, your third wall does not have to be even that big. It's enough to be what we call a tefach sochek. So long as you have a tefach plus, and you place it within 3 of the wall, so basically as long as you have rov dofen, again, you have your 2.9 of lavud, plus your tefach sochek would bring you to 4 and change, and therefore so long as you have, oh, actually 4, 2.9 plus the tefach is 3.9 plus the extra is 4, the majority of the dofen is enough. So why is this Gemara saying over here that the minimum size of a wall is 4? 4 and change, so you get your level to get you to 7. What do you got to go that far for? So the Mefashim answer, because if you remember, if you have a tefach sochek, some opinion said you need a surat petah. You have to put the surat petah over it. So therefore, we're discussing over here, if you have 4 and change, you don't need nothing. You don't need a surat petah. It's kosher as is. That's why we did not discuss the subject of a tefach sochek. In any event, this is the opinion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "My kavash ma'alan." What's the hadush in this case? Lavud? That why you tell me that if you put it within 3 of the wall, I consider lavud? Hakamash ma'alan shiur meshech sukkah ketana shiva. It's teaching you the shiur of the minimum sukkah. Like we learned according to Beit Shammai, the minimum size of a sukkah that's kosher, it's got to be enough to fit his majority of body, his head, and his table. And that is indeed 7 by 7. Therefore, your wall has to be 7. The Hiddush doesn't have to be a complete 7. It can be a 4+, using the principle of Lavud. Baruch Anu Al-Olam. Amen v'amen.